Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. Somebody say, power.
Power.
Say it again. Power.
Power.
From on high.
Power.
Power. How many believe in power? How many believe in power? But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine own house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Say, God gives power unto man. Power heals people. Yes, it does. Did you know that? Power raises the dead. Power prospers people. Power makes a difference in your life. Real power does. God's power makes things better. Isn't that amazing? Many people are afraid of the power of God. They get people that's supposed to be preachers and ministers, and they get all afraid. Amen. I got power to destroy you. No, God's power makes things better. Isn't that amazing? The power of God will make things better for you. Power means what? Superhuman. Superhuman strength. Jurisdiction. Token of control. Delegated influence. Authority. Isn't that good? Force. One of the words that you can change this out when you look it up in the Greek was force. That he had given such force unto men. I said, Lord, force, power. And Jesus says, you know what that force was? It says the power or force, power to force freedom. Power to force freedom. That's what the power of the Holy Ghost is there for. That's what the anointing is there for. The Bible says that the anointing breaks the yoke, destroys the yoke, doesn't it? Destroys. So the power of God, the Holy Ghost, the anointing and the power of God is there to force freedom. Jesus came that we might be free from sin and death, hell and destruction, amen? And everything he did, and every time he used his anointing, and every time he used his power, guess what it did? It forced freedom. That man was bound and trapped to sickness, to tap to disabilities, trapped to disadvantage. But the anointing of God, the power to force freedom came out. Amen? That means that something is wrong. There's an anointing there. There's power to force your freedom. What does that mean? That power is also control. Takes jurisdiction. I'm going to control that thing. Amen. I'm going to control that cancer. Amen. I'm going to force freedom on you. That's what the anointing of the Holy Ghost is there for. They call it law enforcement. Along with, they give the law enforcement authority, right? Police officers have authority, amen? They are the law enforcement. What is the law there for? That every man might have a right to what? Happiness and the pursuit of freedom, amen, right? That's what the law is there for, to make everybody, make sure everybody gets along. Can't we all just get along? Well, that's what the law is there for. To make sure you're happy and free and prospering, amen? Yeah. Police are there to bring that out for you. Glory to God. Isn't that amazing? Somebody say law. Enforcement. Why does the anointing accompany the word of God? Because the word of God and the anointing of God and the things which we teach are the oracles and law and spirit of God. Then the anointing and the power of God, the demonstration comes along after that to enforce it. We preach the word and then he comes and demonstrates it with power. And what does the power do? It enforces the law. That means that we teach about prosperity. There's an anointing that comes to enforce that prosperity.
Amen.
To enforce the law. So we teach you the law of God. Give and it shall be given unto you. Then there's an anointing comes to enforce that in your life. Yes. How many had some things, some good things forced on you? Because every once in a while your circumstances don't want to change. You might believe that stuff, but it don't want to change. Amen. You need a little bit of force. Power to force freedom. So that means whatever you're bound to that God doesn't want you bound to, glory to God, even mess. There's power to force freedom from that thing. If you want it. If you want it. Now, power to force freedom, now they can force, you can be free from something and still be in there. They say you can put a bird in a bird cage and raise the bird to bird cage and you can open the cage and it still won't fly out. Even though it's free, it still won't come completely out. Why? Stuck there. Well, there are many things still people, the anointing of God come and set them free and they're still sitting in a cage with the door wide open. Somebody say, I'm free.
I'm free.
He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Get up and walk.
Yes.
See, that power is there to push the devil back.
Yeah.
And to move evil spirits, authority over evil spirits. But your faith should move you.
Yeah.
Well, if that anointing is there to make me heal, why am I still sick? Well, the thing that had you sick and bound, guess what? The anointing's forced that away, amen. But that force is not going to work on your will and your decision. You've got to get up and walk in faith. He's already forced your healing and forced your healing. Glory to God. But he's not going to force you. Amen. He's already enforced your prosperity. But he's not going to force you. You got to get up and walk in it in faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. And saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. We're getting ready to get into something here. We're talking about power. We're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. Something's about to happen in our community. Amen. He's about to do the same thing right here. Isn't that great? Harvest is plentiful, but workers are few. Why is the church so empty? No, not because there's no harvest. People are there. Amen. But the harvesters are few. Workers are few. You want a full church? Pray for workers. He didn't say pray for souls. Many churches get together, Lord, we pray for souls. We pray for souls. Jesus didn't tell them to pray that way. There is no prayer like that in Scripture. Did you know that? When the harvest was plentiful, they didn't call forth a 40-day fast. Lord, send them in, Jesus. Bring them in. Oh, God. The church is empty. Send these sinners out there, homosexuals over there. Bring them to church, Lord. Get them in the door. Get them in the door. Oh, Father, we need more love. Just send them, Lord. Just let them come. Then all of a sudden, all over the city, people just woke up in the morning on Sunday morning and just started going like this. What is that? Control. You can pray all you want to. People aren't going to come. That's not how you pray for souls. 542, gathering of eagles every morning, praying for souls. Say the bean. You can pray forever. But you got to pray according to his will. He said, prayer, he said, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Somebody say, the problem is the laborers.
The problem is the
laborers. Why is the church empty? The problem is the laborers. It's not MTV. It's not Marilyn Manson. It's not pornography on the postboards. It's not the rock and roll industry nor rock and roll. Why? The anointing of the Holy Ghost can deliver you from pornography. The anointing of the Holy Ghost can deliver you from homosexuality. Somebody say, that's not the problem. That's already taken care of. Problem is the laborer. Harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, said pray to the Lord of harvest, that he may send forth laborers into the harvest. Somebody said, that's where you pray. That's how you pray. How many want to see the place full?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Send them out. If we can get you out, they'll come in. Works both ways. There's some good things you want to get out there, amen. Some bad stuff you want to get out, amen. Some you get them out, they'll come in. Others you get them out, they'll stay in. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And after he said the harvest was so plentiful and his solution was to send forth laborers.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. How many want to experience the power of God?
Yes.
Then you get with his plan.
Amen.
Then you get with his plan. And so he said, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Say, power,
power
is given unto
disciples.
Disciples. Say, power is always given unto disciples. People want to be so Holy Ghost filled, so anointed. Amen. You're just making a bunch of noise. You ain't got no power. Some people said, I'm cast you out in the God whom this one serves. And those demons turned and beat them real good. Why? They were just running their mouth, but they weren't disciples. Uh-oh. They'll come in here. Want to flow in this and want to flow in that. Power is given to not just believers, amen. Demons in hell believe. But his authority to really set people free. There are certain people minister to you and you'll go into more bondage. You'll come under their bondage, amen. I mean, you get set free from cigarettes or cancer, but then you got this thing stuck to you. And you're just wishing for cancer to come to deliver you, amen. Amen. There are certain Christian people, boy, I'd rather be hanging out with Marilyn Manson. I am serious. Amen. Why? It's disciples. Somebody say disciples.
Disciples.
That have power,
to enforce
freedom. That is good. That's good. That means if you want to get with somebody and you want to have someone agree with you to set you free or to get you healed, find yourself a disciple. A disciple is a pupil, a student, one that follows, not just one that's hanging out, but it's a disciplined steward. Amen. They've heard the word, they're studying it, they've prepared themselves, and they're ready. There is a difference.
Yes, amen.
There's a difference.
Yes.
Disciple. That means that disciple will be just as his master.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good? So he called forth his disciples. People say in the last day he's going to pour out this. Yes. But he's going to pour out power on disciples. He's always done it that way. Why? Because the limit of his anointing and the power is measured. It's measured by how much scriptural knowledge you have to flow in that thing. Your faith is based on how much you know in that particular area. How much word is sowed there?
Yes. Amen.
God is not going to, his power is not going to exceed your knowledge of him.
Right.
You're just guessing about healing, guess what? You just guess when they get healed. Amen. Everybody guessing. How did that happen? But if you develop a biblical knowledge of that thing, you won't be guessing anymore. And healing will meet you to what you're confident in.
Yes.
So power comes to disciples. Some people are walking powerless because they're not a disciple. They don't know the word. They're not in any particular flow. Not anywhere. Can't be untaught, unlearned, missing prayers all the time. The disciples learned to pray. He said, let me teach you how to pray. He taught disciples how. There were multitudes there, but disciples learned to pray.
Amen.
He took them to a private place and said, let me teach you how to pray.
Yes.
There is a greater anointing on discipleship and disciples, people that are always learning, always willing to learn, than those that are just there and know it all.
Amen.
The one that knows it all knows nothing.
Amen.
All right. And he gave them power over, somebody say over.
Over.
Or against unclean spirits to cast them out. Remember we said that anointing?
Yeah.
He didn't give them anointing over people.
Right.
He gave them anointing over unclean spirits.
Yes.
Over demonic spirits. You can never control anybody. You can preach all you want to till you're blue in the face. You can't make people do anything. You don't have power over people. But he's given you power over the forces of darkness. And when you find people trying to take power over people, guess what? They don't know anything about God. You can open the bird cage, but you can't make them come out. to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Praise God. Ignorance of the word negates the power of God. We're talking power. You learning anything this morning? Two things. He gives power to who? Disciples. The other point we're going to make, ignorance of the word of God negates the power of God. We're getting ready to see real power. We've seen a lot of fluff, amen. There are certain people, the Bible, have you ever heard of the scripture where it says that those that come with word with nothing behind it is like a cloud that boasts of rain and never gives forth what it says it's going to do? Well, you hear a bunch of noise but never see anything with the noise, amen. All talk, no action. Amen. Well, we don't want to be like that. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said unto them, you do error, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. You make a big mistake, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. If you don't know the words, you're not going to know the power. Somebody say, wordless? Powerless. The power performs the word. The power activates the word of God. Well, if you don't have any word, there's nothing to activate. Power activates word. Give God something to work with. Build a platform. See, when you sit up under the word, see, many people just, I just need the power. Well, you better get yourself a platform for that power to work with. There's electricity all over this room, but you'd never see the electricity if there weren't wires and things connected to it to where you could see it come through, right? I guarantee there's electricity right there, amen? But there's nothing there for you really to see that. But you can see it here, amen, because there's something that pulls it out of the air and makes it manifest. Well, it's the same thing with Scripture. You got power in your life right now, but you got to learn to get the Scripture and get the Word there so you can bring it into manifestation. He told them, you do error, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. I take that and say, hey, if you don't know the scriptures, you're not going to know the power. First thing, the power of God's going to there. If it's the Holy Ghost, somebody say, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? It's God. The Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Ghost really is God. It's God's active agent in the earth today. The Holy Ghost is God, right? Well, if the Holy Ghost is in you and you're so accomplished with the Holy Ghost, Jesus was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God, then you should know the Word. First thing the Holy Ghost is going to do to you is give you an attraction to the Word. Amen. Amen. He will enlighten Scripture to you. He will teach you, lead you, and guide you. Amen. You don't find somebody say, well, that's just a Word church. Well, it's not going to be a power church unless it's a Word church. Amen. Before Jesus gave us the Holy Ghost, He came. Before the Father sent the Holy Ghost to the earth, He sent us Jesus, who was the Word. And then the Holy Ghost came and filled the Word. Before Jesus said, you'll do this, you'll do that, He told us what He'd do, and then He sent the Holy Ghost to perform it. Said, in my name, you'll do this, in my name, you'll do that. And then as soon as He told them what they'd do, then He gave them the power to do it. Some people are just static. Walking with their feet across the carpet, zombies, you know. They walk up to someone and just touch, snap, no power to do anything, amen. Snap, woohoo, Jesus. Snap. Well, God wants you to do more than shock people and snap people. Amen? I can't hold a light bulb and walk like this and expect the light to war over everybody. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Are y'all enjoying this? We're talking about power. If I can just get two, three. Somebody say, the problem is the workers. What is Pastor Rod talking about this morning? He's preaching an evangelistic message. What does that mean? Power. Yeah, power. The problem is the worker. He empowers the workers, and the workers go out there and do it. Guess what? And they come in. One of the things we preached 3 years ago, why isn't this church full? Why don't people want to come to Jesus? Because nobody wants to be like you. That's the truth. He'll do that to me. Where do you think people are running from God? People put fish with legs on the back of it, amen? Because half the people got these little fish on there just as evil, nasty, cruel, rip-offs. and wonder why the world don't want to be like anybody, and then we're mad at them. Matthew chapter 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. This is a new little section that we're going to talk about something. All right? First of all, power comes from the mountain. Power comes from the mountain. One of the things I found out, whenever Jesus was about to do ordination or anything, he sent them to the mountain. Turn to Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And he goeth into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. Mark 3, 13. And they came unto him, and he ordained the 12. He called them to a mountain and ordained them. And that they should be with him, first of all, and that he might send them out, send them forth to preach. Keep your heart with Jesus and go forth to preach. And to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. Notice the order there? First of all, that they might be with him, that they might be sent forth. First of all, he called them that they might be with him. The first call is be with him. And when they were with him as what? Disciples. So the first call is the call of discipleship and to learn of God and just to hang out. Amen? Well, when do we get to go out? When he sends you out. Isn't that amazing? So everybody's got a call from the Holy Ghost right now. Come to the mountain and be ye disciple. And then he will send you where he wants you to go. Anybody, that's the way God does. Any pastor that's got 2 cents of a brain is going to send people. Because if you don't send, you're not going to receive. It's the same thing. When pastors get to the point to where they're sowing, they get out there and they start sowing seeds. Well, it's the same thing for church growth. People that could look like they're hanging around here, they could be a real blessing. Oh, I just love seeing you around here, and you could be this. No, he has to sow them into the world. He sows into the world. He reaps from the world. Amen. Are you getting it? Yes. He put out. Notice that he sent out 12. In the upper room, they said there was about 120 there. What return is that? He got a return. Every time you send out, it'll come back more. But you got to watch what kind of seeds you send out. Some pastors only want to send out negative seed. If all you send out is the trash, they just hold on to their church. And every time somebody gets a problem, they send them out. And they wonder why they keep getting back trash. Because that's all they send out is trash. Uh-oh. Yes, same principle. Well, when you start to train up people that are powerful and people that are wonderful and people that you love to see them all the time and love just to use them in that church. Oh, you just belong right here with us and we're just so happy here. Amen. Now, send them.
Amen.
Send them.
Yes.
Send them.
Yes.
And they'll come back 10 times more.
Amen.
Are you learning that principle? He calls them to the mountain and disciples them. And then once they have been discipled, he sends them forth. People are afraid of discipleship. Everybody's going to have a sending. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. That doesn't mean you have to leave the church. No. That means you're going to find out where your place is in the body of Christ and what God's called you to do. And the Holy Ghost will put you there. And when you get discipled, you'll produce good fruit.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Get excited. Say, I'm ready to go.
Ready to go.
Some were sent. Some just packed up and went. Some were called, some were sent, some just packed up and went. Don't just pack up and go. Let God send you. Amen? Let God send you. So he calls them into a mountain to do these things. Stay on the mountain until you become familiar with the power there. Why does he call them to the mountain? Because he teaches them on the mountain of the things. The mountain represents the spirit. You got to experience the spirit. And you got to get into the mountain. and you stay there until you become not familiar in a negative sense. Make sure that the power you are flowing with on the mountain was demonstrated on high. Say power from on high. Make sure that the power that you're flowing in when you go out into the world and flow in the valleys was demonstrated on high. So you go up into these Holy Ghost meetings. You come here to church. You see people do things. You see the power of God demonstrated. You come up to a high place of worship where you see God's Spirit move. You see the anointing, and you just get raptured. You never want to go. Everybody's just drunk in the Holy Spirit. That's called the mountain on high. And you go there to the mountain on high, and you see how those things are done. You see how those things are done because sooner or later, he's going to say, now go down and demonstrate what you've seen. He did it to Moses, didn't he? Moses went up to the mountain, and he saw a burning bush, and he came down the burning bush. He came down and represented what he'd experienced up there. But there are many people that want to go out and demonstrate something they've never experienced. People want to go out from churches, don't agree with nothing the church ever did. You think they're going to send that out? No. When you get sent out, you teach the same thing. Same thing. Same power. Make sure that the anointing that you're flowing in was which is the same anointing that was demonstrated to you when you were on high. Don't go out there and test out something new. Just get there for something that's already been proven. Amen. Isn't it amazing that the same things that we're doing today are the same things Jesus did back then, healing the sick, raising the dead, the same thing. It was demonstrated on high and passed down. People, we're learning about power. Before you can know what his will here on earth, you must see his power in action in the heavens. Amen. What does that mean? Why do you go to the mountain? Because when you go to the mountain is the place of the Spirit. And you just get taken up into the Spirit and you see that mountain. And you see that in this room we just keep talking healing. We just keep talking prosperity. Amen. Whatever his power does on the mountain, you will discern that his power will only perform his will. Yes, amen. So when you go to the mountain, you'll learn what the will of God is. Yes. Before you know what his will is on earth, you must see his power in action in the heavens. It says this, go to the mountain to see what you should be. Go to the mountain to see what you should be. Notice that the Bible says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, it's easy to say that when you can look into heaven and see what it should be. So you go up into heaven to find out what his will is. You won't know what his will is until you touch heaven. Until you touch heavenly places. You won't know what to enforce on earth or what the power is there to do unless you've seen it there. You won't be able to get your healing on earth until you can see it in the realm of the Spirit. And notice that he said, go ye to the other place until you're endued with power. And it told you where the power should come from on high. The power that God wants me to focus in and move in. It's power from on high. Not just any kind of power. God's power. Heavenly power from on high. Now notice that it said in Matthew chapter 28 verse 16. And when the 11 went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So you're appointed to the mountain first of all. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. This is even after he rose from the dead. Some worshipped and some doubted. Some worshipped and some doubted. Well, that worship means that some bowed before him and honored him and reverenced him for what he was. Thou art the Son of the living God. You are God. And others doubted. Worship, true worship and true reverence will only happen in faith. Notice that there are two manifestations. You can tell how high someone is by the way they worship. When God brought the children of Israel through the wilderness, he was taking them to the mountain of ordination. When God calls you up to a mountain plateau or to a high place, that is the mountain of ordination, to a spiritual dimension where you don't know what's going on. It's way out there beyond you. Have you ever been there spiritually where it's way beyond you? I mean, just what's going on there, it's way beyond you. Well, that's called the mountain of ordination. Okay? Well, this, when he took them out of Egypt and he took them into the wilderness. Now, listen, I want you to see it this way. Those that were worshiping were on the mountain, and those that were doubting were in the wilderness. Notice that Moses in the wilderness went to the mountain. Several times he was on the mountain, he was believing and worshiping. But everybody else that was doubting, they were having a wilderness experience. You can turn your wildernesses into mountain experiences. They were in the wilderness for 40 years, representing tribulation, trials, and testings. Testing it. Don't test it. Believe it. Trust it. And that wilderness experience that you're going through will no longer be a wilderness experience, but it'll be a mountaintop experience that you spent with God. You can turn your wildernesses into mountains. Leave the wilderness through worship. Immediately. Leave the wilderness through worship and obedience. They were there. It was a four, how many days journey was it? 4 days? It was a 4-day journey. And they could have gotten out of there. But they turned their mountain experience into a wilderness experience. And they had all the same faith and just decided to trust God and met him on the mountain and received the commandments that they wanted him to have. They didn't want to go to the mountain. Notice that they said, look, you go up to the mountain and we'll stay down here. Mountains versus wildernesses. And there are many things that you're being tested in and tried in is because you refuse to go to the mountain. Amen. You want to stay down and send somebody else to the mountain for you. And they turned their mountaintop experience where they, notice that he said, they may come out that they might worship me. God said, set them free that they might be able to worship me. And they said, yeah, we want to go worship. They got out there and they went complaining. They went complaining. Worship and complaining. Murmuring. Don't go together. Amen. How do you get booted from the mountain? Start complaining. How many are in the wilderness and want to come out? How many are in the wilderness and want to come out? Start to worship God. Start to worship God. Now, worship goes in several different ways. Now, worship's not just singing a song. Worship is done through obedience and reverencing God. That's true worship. Yeah, we can all sing songs. If you're disobedient, you're not worshiping God. Worshiping God means to honor God and to reverence God and to reverence the things of God. Say that some worship and some were doubting. Right here in Scripture, even after he rose from the dead, these were disciples. That some disciples were worshiping and some disciples were doubting. What does that mean? That at the same time, the experience can be completely different in one room. That means that it's absolutely possible this morning that some people could be in a mountain someplace hearing the things of God, amen, and others are out there in the wilderness sometime wondering what's going on. And you hear two different reports. Oh, yeah, I've talked to you here. We go to service and say, my gosh, that was a wonderful service. And you go out to the parking lot. Something was just, did you feel it in your spirit? There was just something there. I just don't know what it was. How many ever got something like that? But something just didn't agree in my spirit. Dummy, because your spirit was in the wilderness. Didn't you feel that? No, amen, but I'm certain you did. I'm sure you did. And I thank God that I'm not bound to where you have to be. Glory to God. In this church, the same thing will come up. You'll get dummies that stay in the wilderness. Stay in the mountain. Amen. Don't let anybody tell you where you should be. Go on and be a Joshua. Go on and be a Caleb. Go on and be like Moses. Go to the mountain. Whenever you're on the mountain, there'll always be somebody in the wilderness complaining. Yes. You want to find out where they're at? Listen to their confession. Yes. Amen. And we're going on. They're still wondering. How many of you noticed that? Amen. And see, are you learning anything this morning? Yes. We're talking about power. Yes. Notice that those that went to the mountain came out powerful. Joshua went up to the mountain and came out powerful. Moses came up to the mountain, came out powerful. But those that stayed in the wilderness were weak. Mountains and wildernesses. Leave the wilderness through worship. Your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. Attitude check. It's impossible to be full with the Spirit and have an attitude. That's crazy. You're full of it. That's crazy. Be full of the Holy Ghost, and then 15 minutes later, you got a serious attitude. And then seeing God's face, who's nothing but love, and you didn't stay in the Spirit all day. You were in love all day long, but you can't stand anybody. Amen. And you're eating people up. You're crazy. That's the devil. You ain't seen God. You didn't see God. Those that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Period. Point blank. And love is demonstrated by the things in the Bible. You ain't been in the Spirit. You were tripping. You were having a drug flashback. You weren't with God. When you get in God, you've been rolling in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit all day long. I don't know what spirit you were in, because if you were in His Spirit, you'd come out smelling like Him, come out looking like Him, come out glowing like Him, come out talking like Him, being able to get over things like He was able to get over things. Amen? You were in a spirit. You probably were in the Spirit, but you got to find out which one you were in. You find out which mountain you were on and what spirit you were in by how you walk when you come back down through the valley. What do you bring down with you? Many people get up in the Spirit and bring down all kind of stuff. Bring back all kind of stuff. Well, which spirit were you in? I got this in the Spirit. Amen. I'm sure you did. But which one? Amen. When I go to the Spirit of God, I get what heaven has to offer. When I'm in the Spirit of heaven, I can only bring down what heaven has to offer. There's no sickness there. There's no disease there. There's no curses there. There's no unforgiveness there. There's no bitterness there. There's no strife there. I can go up there wrong and come down right. Amen. It'll turn you around. Somebody say the Spirit. I had a vision. Somebody said, you got to get into the river. I believe in the river of God, but I got to find out what river it is. Now, I'm not going down no Amazon visitor. You got anacondas there. Amen. Snakes, crocodiles, and all this other stuff. You'd be crazy. You didn't call me to go jump in a swamp. Just believe God and jump in. But y'all are devouring each other. Piranha. Jump on in. In faith. Jump on in faith. But I see an anaconda. Jump on in. Woo. Jump on in. He leadeth me beside the still water. He don't lead you beside troubled water. What does troubled water mean? Always griping, always complaining. Troubled water. The Holy Ghost leads you beside the still water. That means peaceful water. Hallelujah. Say, I thank God for water. Not just any kind of water, but peaceful water. He leadeth me beside the still water. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not the troubled water. What does that mean? If it's not still water, don't jump in. That means if it's not just in peace, that means, what did we talk about peace this morning? People that get the word act like they got peace. That messy water. That messy water. Stay out of messy water. Stay out of swamp water. And you see blood jump out. You hear the first person that jumped in screaming and howling about something that's going on while they're in there, don't jump in. Find peaceful water and enjoy that. Actually, the true river is in your own heart. Out of your own belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Yes. Matthew chapter 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto him, Jesus, in heaven and in earth. Why does he call us to go to the heavenlies first before he tells us to go to the earth? Because we go to the heavens and see him manifesting the powers in heaven. We see how he runs things there. We saw how he ran the devil out of heaven. Glory to God. We see it in the word how he ran the devil out when the devil started problems up there. Amen. He cleaned it up. He's ruling. Say, Jesus rules in the heaven by the word of his mouth. But he's ruling in the earth by the power of his hand, which is me. Go to the head so you can flow through the body. Now listen. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All the power is where he's ruling in the heaven. But all the power that he's ruling on the earth is through the church. Amen. Notice. We're getting ready to pick up something for people that are listening. Mountain people, are you still there?
Amen.
Now, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That is his power in the earth.
Amen.
You are the power of God in the earth.
Amen.
He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
The church is the power of God. That's where the Holy Ghost is, in the earth.
Amen.
And we are called to go to the mountain to see him flowing in the heavenlies so you know what to do in the earth.
Amen.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So then the first thing the Holy Ghost does is teach. That's the first command. No, get him baptized, get him drunk. No, teach. Somebody say teach. The devil loves ignorance. The devil loves ignorance. My people are destroyed for a lack of vision or a lack of knowledge. He loves ignorance. It's hard to get a dummy healed. First of all, you got to teach him. That's the first premise of anointing. Teach. Woodlands need to be taught what is the things of God. Amen. What is the Holy Ghost? Teach them. So we're right with the Holy Ghost. Wherever the Holy Ghost is flowing, he's teaching. The Bible school is the anointing of the Holy Ghost teaching. That's the first command. He said, go ye therefore into all. Amen. And teach all nations. Another thing about the Holy Ghost, you can't have the Holy Ghost and have a prejudice problem. You will never be able to fulfill the call of God and you got racial problems. Because you can't teach all nations if you can't stand all nations. Amen. What are you going to teach all nations? That I'm better than you? That's the problem when people didn't have the Holy Ghost. They try to go all through all nations and try to teach all crazy, weird, stupid stuff. You got to deal with your problems today. You got to deal with the nations that you're going to walk in heaven. Nations teaching. Said, teach all nations. Didn't say just teach the rich ones. No, teach all nations. It means if you got to hang up, you got to get over it. You got to deal with it. You got to love them all. You got to love them all. That means sometimes you got to eat some fried rice. I can't stand Mexican food. Amen. I just haven't had the right Mexican food. But I'm going to learn to eat it. Amen. You might not be able to take time, but you better learn to eat it because God's heart is for the nations.
Amen.
I'm so glad that God's sending more than country music to the world.
Amen.
Many people aren't getting saved because we got too much country music on the TV set. Everybody thinking, I got to get saved. I got to be from Nashville, Tennessee with my hair sticking out over my head and listen to a banjo someplace. Some people think, well, I can't get the Holy Ghost unless I'm jumping like a black person in a black church. Amen. No, you got to learn to deal with nations. And you got to discern what is culture and what's the Holy Ghost. Because there's a whole lot of stuff they're trying to throw down your throat. It ain't the Holy Ghost. It's just culture. And tradition. And control. You go to a church. That's why God wants us to have exposure to the nation. Because the things that are strongholds in America, the churches are influenced by that. But when you get up beyond our nation, you can see what it's really supposed to be like. Don't learn prayer from the Americans. They don't know how to pray. Don't learn that. Amen. Let me tell you, y'all want me to get you mad? You want me to get you mad? Y'all want to get mad? Now you get your Bible out and you figure it out. Let me tell you what. I picked up some stuff and said, there's something. See, going to Christ for Nations was a good thing because we had the nations there. And we go up there with our little American theology, amen, thinking we're the ruler of the earth and all that other stuff. Boy, did the nations get us straight. We had one person from England say, listen, you just like the Americans and all the Americans are the same way. There's a spirit of rebellion over you because you rebelled from the Queen years ago and you've been rebelling ever since. And every ministry you get, you rebel. Every church we go into is nothing but rebellion everywhere. The seed of rebellion. You need to get over it. You won't experience God on the level that you want to experience him until you learn to experience him through the nation. He didn't pour it all out in America. He poured some of himself over in Japan. He poured some of himself over there in China. Amen. Over there in Africa somewhere, he's pouring himself out. And guess what? You better get the whole cup.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You better not put God in your little American box. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe. Somebody say, to observe.
To observe.
Whatsoever I have commanded you. This is good to learn because this is what God's going to pour his spirit out on. Now listen. The first thing he said, now he made it real clear, teaching them to observe. First of all, he told them to teach. Many people want to go beyond all that other stuff. He sent me out to the world. I'm going to cast out devils and do all this other stuff. Well, what about teaching?
Amen.
Where are you going to teach them?
Amen.
Get out there and make them do like the Pharisees and make them seven times the devil that you are. Amen?
Amen.
You rebellious and can't, and everything you teach is rebellious. Whatever you are is what you'll teach. And that's what you'll teach him to be. So he went out and he said, teach them to observe whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end. Now, observe means this. A fortress or military lines. Now, he told these apostles, he said, look, to observe means it's like a fortress or military lines. To fulfill a command. Teach them how to fulfill the command. That's what observe means. Or to hold fast, to keep, preserve, or serve. It says, go ye therefore and teach them how to bring it to pass.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Go there and teach them how to get in sync with what I'm doing. Well, when you sit, someone say, well, what's the deal with this? No, when we teach you, get in line with what God is doing and get right. He's going to move through that. Get in line.
Yeah.
And line up and sync up. Now, I really like this. I was ready to shout when I read this in my little study guide there. It says to take note. Observe means take note. What does that mean? We've got to teach people how to hear God and how to hold on to it. We got to teach them how to take notes. What does that mean? How to hold on to a word when everybody wants to get rid of it. You want to see the church prosper and grow? The power of the Holy Ghost. Now, we did a whole message on power, and I believe we were right in line. But true power that's able to make a difference will teach people how to come in, sit there, and be discipled and take notes. And then after all of that, we can get all the other stuff. But to have somebody healed not be able to fall in line and take notes, it's a shame. They'll be right back where they started. Isn't that good? Now, how many want power?
Amen.
How many believe in the power of God?
Amen.
How many feel full this morning?
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Say, power,
power.
From on high.
It's demonstrated to me
in heavenly places.
But I won't
ever get to see it if I never get into heavenly places.
Heavenly places aren't
where Jesus is.
For where Jesus is,
it's heaven.
And Jesus said,
where two or three
are gathered in my name,
there I am
in the midst of them.
He also said,
through his disciples,
forsake not
the assembling
together of yourselves.
Hallelujah.
When we come together,
we experience heaven.
We see God's will
unfold.
We learn it.
Take root in it.
Take notes about it.
Hide it in our heart.
For soon,
and not very long,
God
is going to
send us forth
to demonstrate that
power
in the valleys,
in the low places.
I believe God.
I trust God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.